Father, we give you praise. Lord, we thank you for coming to the earth with the intention of bringing salvation to men. But for your grace, we would have been consumed. We thank you for this hour, when you began to fulfill the things that have been written before time concerning you, and in your program concerning the salvation of men. Thank you. Lord, as we look into the mirror of your word, we pray that you give us understanding, give us illumination, grant us the grace that your word carries. There is something in your word. Make us to experience that thing, so that our lives, Lord, in the spirit, we experience a shift, a change that we glorify you. Thank you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Today I have been asked to share on the topic, the immutability of God's word. It was a little bit difficult for me to create the relationship between Palm Sunday and this topic. It was slightly difficult. But when I allowed the Spirit of God to work on it, because you see, God always has something to say, no matter what the nature of the topic or the environment is. God has a purpose for every situation. God has a purpose for every gathering. Amen. And so I know that when this topic was picked, God has a purpose. So it is my assignment to dig out what the purpose of God is concerning this topic and concerning today's service. And it is very clear in my spirit that the purpose of God is to, no matter the dimension he came to you, is to build us up, to make us all to grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ and become mature and be ready for the rapture. So no matter the dimension he comes, no matter how the Spirit of God comes, no matter how he begins to minister to you, as we share this morning in God's word, the essence of the word is to build us up. So I am pleading and begging that you begin to ask yourself, in this word that you're going to hear and that you're already hearing, what is in it that is meant to build me up? That is how to take a leap in your walk with God. Every day of the life of a child of God, you must always look for that thing that will give you that leap. If you retire and give up, and then you become weak and lax, you realize that the work of the powers of darkness will begin to take a place in your life. Even you, without you knowing it. Praise God. Alright, today is Palm Sunday. And from where we have read in Matthew chapter 21, the account there said that Jesus Christ, when it was time for him to go into Jerusalem, he has been entering Jerusalem and coming out of Jerusalem. He didn't really make any meaning as per the purpose of God for that day. And the Bible says that he sent his disciples. He said, go and bring me that ass. Go into the town. You see the ass, you see it, bring it. Now, we know the story. But at the end of it, the Bible says in verse 5, He said that this was done that it might be fulfilled what has been spoken of by the prophets. Meaning that that movement that Jesus made on that day was already spoken of. Am I communicating? God had already in advance given a prophetic word concerning the entrance of Jesus on that day into Jerusalem. So what it means is that his entrance into Jerusalem had a purpose. So that very day, the people began to praise him. And they were praising him. He didn't stay behind to enjoy the praise. The Bible says when he got there, he went straight into the temple. Amen. He went where? To the temple. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. The immutability of God's word. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, he said, your king cometh unto thee. He is just and having what? Having what? Salvation. Lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt. The foal of an ass. All those other extra grammar, I don't know what it means. The only thing I know is that he was lowly. And the demonstration of his lowliness. He's a king. The Bible says in that place, he said, rejoice, your king. Instead of coming like an army with sirens, with mopo, he is instead coming in a lowly form. But that is coming has a prophetic significance. His coming was not just to enter into Jerusalem with show. He had a purpose. The Bible says he's coming with salvation. He's coming to purge the temple. His purpose is to convert the temple to become what the temple was meant to be. Because before that time, the temple which was meant to be a house of prayer has now been corrupted and converted into what? A den of what? Thieves. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what Jesus was doing prophetically was to demonstrate his assignment in your life. Amen. He was to do what? Demonstrate his assignment in you, in who? Your own life. Now, how does this connect with the word immutability? Immutability means God doesn't change. But in the topic, the subject, it says immutability of the word. That is, what the word of God says does not do what? Change. Now, look at the mystery. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was who? God. From that scripture alone, a lot of mysteries are loaded in that place. From that scripture, you will realize that Bible is saying that God is equal to his word. And if God does not change, God in his nature, in his essence, he doesn't change. Accidents cannot happen to God now, and he is injured. Amen. God cannot become sick and lose weight.
God cannot also eat and gain weight. Amen. Therefore, God does not change. The essence of God remains constant and unchangeable from the beginning. And let me tell you, you're walking in righteousness and holiness, you're serving Him, does not change Him. Your refusal to serve Him does not change Him. So if God is equal to His word, it means that the word of God does not do what? Change. One way that God has expressed Himself, see, brethren, when God speaks, God moves out. God performs, but God remains where He is. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him where? In spirit and in truth. See, when God speaks, as He opens His mouth to talk, God comes out. When God comes out, God performs. The reason why the word comes out, God is in action. But God who spoke is still where He was. But God who is performing is outside there performing. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? That is the meaning that God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must do what? Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now listen. So when God speaks and the prophet writes it down, the prophet writes down the word of God, it comes in dimensions. That thing that the prophet writes has capacity to become God, the spirit, and also walk like God, the spirit. Because it is God with men. So, the prophets caught the word of God. Isaiah prophesied him. Zechariah prophesied him. They wrote it down. The people read it, but they didn't grab the spirit of that word. That's why Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you," in John chapter 6, He said, "They are what? They are spirits." Why did He say that? If God speaks, the prophet writes it down. It carries two dimensions, the physical and the spiritual. It has the capacity to perform the same things that God spoke when He spoke. But the problem is, can you allow that word to boil and become spirit? Remember, if I have water in my house, I put some in fire, it will begin to boil. That one that is boiling turns to what? Steam. It begins to permeate all over the house. If you close the windows, the steam begins to permeate. And you have some, put it in freezer, it congeals. It remains in one place. It has no activity. It's just there, cold. And you have some that you have not put anywhere. It's liquid water. Hallelujah. But the one that is boiling is still water, but it is permeating. That is the way. When you allow the word of God that is unchangeable, even though this one now is no longer the liquid water, it is now what? The steam. It's the same water, but they have different functions. When we are still bringing up our children, those of us who are pediatricians here, you know, when they have upper respiratory tract infection, we call them. What do? They will say, put water in kettle, allow it to steam, isn't it? Allow it to steam, and then take the child inside there, close everywhere. Allow the steam to begin to work. Brothers and sisters, If you want the word of God to work and to perform like God in your life, because it has the capacity to perform like God in your life, that thing you're holding there, it has. But it becomes ordinary to every child of God who carries it like a book. This is not a novel, sir. It's not. It's not the same thing like a novel. It's not. But you must position yourself in such a way that the spiritual temperature of your life, where you are consuming the word, it will heat up and the word becomes life. It will jump out from the scripture and becomes life in you. There's a song we used to sing in those days in scripture, you know. I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I. Hallelujah. What verse 2 says. I have a wonderful Savior. He took me into His favor, governs all my behavior. Since I made Him my, hallelujah, I have a wonderful treasure. Verse 1.
Gifts of God without measure.
We will travel together.
God exists all by Himself. He does not need you to qualify Him. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1. If you're there, please read. Hebrews 1 verse 3.
Being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high.
You can see the mystery of this word. This same word, the Bible says, God upholds all things by the word of His power, by the power of His word, by the power word, whatever, anyhow you put at it. This same God, He upholds all things by the word of His power. This same God is seated at the right hand of His Majesty. You understand what I'm talking about now? Why is the word of God unchangeable? The integrity of God is invested in His word. The integrity of God is what? Is invested in His word. So meaning that If the word of God fails, God has done what? Failed. Okay. So, God's integrity is wholly, completely invested in His word. We can see that in Isaiah chapter 45. From verse 22 to 23, the Bible says, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth." You remember that the purpose for which he entered Jerusalem was to bring salvation. Amen. And when he entered the temple, what did he do? He began to turn the tables of the money changers. He removed all the nonsense they were doing inside the temple. That was his purpose. And the person who was doing this thing is the Word of God. The Bible says in John 1 verse 1 down, he said, "In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was who? God." So that was God himself. The Bible says the same, he was the light of men. We will come to it when we get to the character of the Word of God. We will begin to see some of the things, some of the qualities, the capacities, the ability, the things that the Word of God can do, which we as God's children are not yet enjoying. Why? Because we have not taken advantage to share fellowship with the Word. I'm still reading verse 22. He said, "For I am God, there is none else." God is talking. He said, "I have sworn by myself." Is it God swearing now? That is the language of King James. He's taking an oath. Amen. You see, when God wants to speak to his beloved and he sees that there is no faith in you, he sees that you are still doubting. You are still asking yourself now, he said, "What about this thing that I'm passing through? I have applied the word. It has not changed." That's doubt. That's an element of that. But God is trying to now assure you. And he's taking an oath. He said, "I have sworn by myself. The word has come out of my mouth in righteousness. And it shall not return. That unto me. That unto me every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall do what?" He has taken an oath. So brothers and sisters, concerning your situation, God has taken an oath. His word will not change. Not because of your situation. Not because of the condition. Not because of that illness. Amen. I cannot promote God. I'm not even promoting him. I don't know who you are. But allow the word of God to enter into your spirit this morning. As it enters, you have opportunity. Even today, you have two layers of opportunity. One is now that I'm preaching. Two is when you will approach the Lord's table. Don't come without faith. Allow the word to permeate and enter your spirit. It shall bring healing in the name of Jesus. The life that it carries, you will experience it in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you this thing. Remain consistent and persistent, demanding what the word of God says it will do. Amen. Now, another point I want to make is that there is power in God's word. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4. There is power in God's word. There has been power and there is still power. It will not change. It doesn't change because we are Anglicans. It doesn't change because it does not change. It's consistent. It doesn't even change because you are here. Amen. There is power. The Bible says in that place in Ecclesiastes, it says, "Where the word of a king is, there is power." Where the word of a king is, there is what? Power. And who is the king of the whole universe? God. Meaning that there is ultimate power in the word of the king. Amen. Amen. You know, there are some people who are Christians. They just want to be saved and not go to hell. Very good. Please, do not go to hell. By all means. By all means. Fight the good fight of faith. But I want you to know that while we are here, the power of God is still working with God's children. The Bible says, "And you shall receive power after the Spirit comes upon you." Remember, all these things are interchangeable. If the word comes into you and it converts to spirit, it becomes power. If the word comes to you and is just later, it remains dormant, cold water. Praise the Lord. So after the Spirit comes, power comes. It is the Spirit that brings, the Bible says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The power in the word of God comes from the realm of the Spirit. It doesn't come from, maybe because you woke up in the morning, just read casually.
and you kept it. No, that's not the way it works. Amen. It doesn't work that way. Turn to the person by your side and say, it doesn't work that way. Next quality. This should be number 5. The word of God. You see, what happened to Jesus? Jesus said, and in the volume of the books, has it been written concerning me? So, the things that he did were already written concerning him. So, and it was his responsibility to find out all the things written concerning him in the volume of the books. And he walked according to them. Amen. So in the volume of the books, it has been written. So, and that is why the Bible says that the word of God is always settled in heaven. There's a song that we sing like that. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Is settled, is settled in heaven. What's the meaning of that? He said he settled in heaven. Okay, where does he go to? After it has been settled in heaven, what's the implication for you? Next week, I'm going to be preaching on the implication of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what's the implication that the word of God is settled in heaven? What's the implication? What's the implication? What it means is that for you right now, the Bible says, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. I already formed you. I have made you a prophet. But let me tell you something. Jeremiah could decide not to be a prophet. Even though it has been settled that my son, you are a prophet to the nations, you come here. The moment you come here and you see the good things of the world, you see the politics of the world, you see the politics of the church, I want to become, I don't want to become. The moment you enter into the heaven, you're only telling God, I don't want to be a prophet to the nations. In fact, let me tell you something. It's not for public consumption. Let me leave it. Let me leave you. As I wanted to say, the Spirit of God said, shut up. So I have. Amen. It has been settled in heaven concerning you. Amen. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know the experiences you have. But concerning you, it has been written. And there's an exam we used to do in medical school, true or false. They say this, so and so thing is true. Is this. Your answer is either true or false. Now, the same way, I want you to set a true or false and questions for your life concerning you. What has God written concerning you? Just write them down. Mike, you are so and so and so thing. Mark true or false by the Spirit. Allow yourself, write out 10 things and find out where you are in the map of the things that have been settled in heaven concerning you. A lot of people have left the program of heaven. By the time you tick, and if you plot a graph, you discover that heaven's graph is going this way. You're going in the opposite direction. Why? Because you did not take time to find out what has been written in the volumes of the books of heaven concerning your life. And see, this is the same child of God who wants to go to heaven where they wrote all those things about you. Amen. Amen. So, today, let us settle down. Settle down out of the noise, out of the politics, out of the troubles of life. Brothers, are there troubles? Yes, there are troubles. There are troubles, distractions. There are. But when you discover the purpose of God concerning you, the troubles, you discover that they will melt away. And when they will melt away, you will actually may not even be able, you won't do anything. You just see them melting away because you refuse to recognize them any longer. They don't exist. Amen? They don't do what? They didn't exist. Only the program of God concerning your life existed. So somebody say, how about you? How about your family? It didn't exist. How about this situation? It's not existing. Your eyes don't see it. I am looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. He said, my knee is paining me. It doesn't exist. If you live like this, remember that woman, was it the Shunammite woman? That through prophetic encounter, she gave birth to a child. And then the prophet left. The child died. Ha! She said,
this child came from God, and this same God who gave me this child will bring this child back to life. She put the child on the coat and she began to go. She was running towards the prophet. And when they meet her, they say, "Woman, what's going on?" He said, "It is well." "It is well." They say, "Your child is dead." "It is well." Do you know, sometimes when people ask me some things and I say it is well, I say it on purpose. Sometimes I am talking from prophetic realm. Just talk. You, if you like, get angry. It doesn't matter. Amen. Because the truth is that you need to begin to exist in another world. If not, they will drag you into your world, into their world. He says, "See, how old are you now? You're 70 years. You're still training your first child in secondary school." "It is well. It is well." Amen. Do you know? It is well. You know, in the standard of men, we should actually finish training everybody. You should be relaxing. And some people, they will write, all those people who write motivational talks, they say by the age of 30, you should have, your first son should have graduated. You will build 2 houses in Abuja, 3 in Port Harcourt, 5 in Enugu. And then hypertension enter inside you. You know, it's a spirit. The thing just enter. Boah. You say, "See me, oh, see me. See that brother that comes to church every day. If you see him, I know he has 20 houses." He has. And you begin to build up pressure. And devil say, "Yes, yes, that's true. It's true. You don't even have anything. See your car. It's even making noise. Your car is making noise." And you say you're serving God. And then that pressure builds up to the level where when you can't resist sin again. When you get a little temptation, ordinary 1 million naira, child of God, you give up. Mommy. But that's the way the devil works. When he has put those pressure, oh my God, he put pressure on my mommy. He put pressure on my mommy. He put pressure on my mother. The devil put pressure. First son, second son. We have 4 boys, 1 girl in the family. 4 boys, 1 girl. And at a point when my father died, everywhere quenched. Everything just quenched. My mother was a farmer. She's now very old, so she doesn't farm again. But now she farms like a big woman, you know. Amen. She farms like a big woman. But she served the Lord. But that time, pressure came. Pressure came upon her. Pressure came. It was terrible. And then all the people around her, they were all prospering. Just see, this person, he has gotten a job in oil company. This one, he has gone there. This one has traveled to Bodoyibo. This one, and you just say, "Hey, God." And the pressure is building. The pressure is building. And me, I was writing receipts in medical school. How many of you have experienced that kind of thing? Hey, it was the first day I graduated. The first day I gave her money from my house job, she began to cry. She began to cry. Do you know why she was crying? Finally. It was as if, finally, she could get something from me. She began to cry. You know, my mother, she gets her salary in advance now. She's the king of the whole place, even though those people were. She's the king of the family. She's the king. Oh. Amen. But when she was passing through that thing, it was as if God didn't use to answer prayer. Amen. And she was equating her timetable with those people's own. Let me tell you something. God does not change. Has he spoken a thing concerning you? He will bring it to pass. In the name of Jesus Christ. She, at the point she was sick. She came here. Everywhere. Knee arthritis. Everything. I said, "You're a child of God." I went to the hospital. We asked how much would they knee transplant. They quoted one kind of money. I didn't have it. I said, "God, I don't have this money, but I have you." That we begin to pray. I prayed for her and anointed that knee. After some time, the thing left her alone because he knew we didn't pay attention again. He left her alone. My mother is approaching 90. Amen. Let me tell you something. The word of God is capable. If he can uphold the word, he can also uphold your life. Your life is too small for the word of God. It's very finitesimal. Receive that word concerning your life in the name of Jesus. May the Lord grant you deliverance today in the name of Jesus. Psalm 119 and verse 89. That's where that scripture came from. Now, God does not lie. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well. You will do well that you take heed to the sure word of prophecy. I don't know who you are, but every sure word concerning you, that disease that is threatening you, it cannot conquer the word of God. You are healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I send the word of God unto you. You are healed in the name of Jesus. Chains are broken in the name of Jesus. Chains are broken in the name of Jesus. He said that you take heed as unto the light that shineth in a dark place, until the day is done and the day star arise in your heart. So the place where your victory begins is in your heart. The place where your victory begins is in your heart. The place where the battle starts is in your heart. Amen. The moment you begin to entertain the general fear of everybody, the battle has begun. The battle has begun. The battle has begun. Let me tell you, you can enjoy peace. Go and ask. There's one man. I don't know how that man got that peace. He doesn't have hands. He doesn't have legs. But the man is preaching all over the place and sharing the testimony. He has children now. And his son was telling him, Daddy, I wish he can hug him with his hand. Amen. The man said to him, he said that he's already hugging him with his heart. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know his name, but you know the man I'm talking about. And you have been seeing him. How is he enjoying himself? How? How is he able to carry himself with authority, with decorum, with confidence? And you yourself, two legs, two hands, your two eyes are there. And you are not confident about God. Amen. Now, what the word can do, and I'll begin to round up in your lives. Number one, the word that does not change brings light. Brings light. Remember, the Bible says, the entrance of your word giveth light, it gives understanding to the simple. Now, what is light? Light means development. Remember that when God wanted to create the world, the Bible says everywhere was darkness, isn't it? And because there was darkness everywhere, before he begins to develop, he said, let there be what? Light. So God spoke light into being. And the Bible says, and there was light. And then development started. Until light enters your heart, you will not develop. You need the light of the gospel to develop. You need light every area of your life, in your academics, in your profession, in your health. If light enters, development begins to happen. Healing takes place because light has come. Amen. Number two, if the word enters you, it brings salvation. Salvation, it delivers you. It brings you, it gives you salvation from sin. John chapter 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, as many as receives him, to them gave he power. To do what? To become the sons of God. Even to them that believes in his name. There are church people who still do not believe that Jesus can save. And they have allowed themselves to be entangled in sin, in iniquity. They struggle with it, but they don't believe that Jesus can actually save them. In fact, there is somebody here who is at a point of giving up on the ability and the capacity of God to set him free. Hear the word of the Lord today. That chain in your heart is broken in the name of Jesus. But you must first receive him. As many as receives him. There are God's children. You see them, their life doesn't reflect Jesus Christ at all. They are members of the church. They are here. Members of the church, enjoying the church, enjoying the beauty of the congregation, but they are not enjoying the fellowship of the Spirit.
Today, you will have an opportunity when we pray in the name of Jesus.
The word of God brings deliverance. Psalm 107 verse 20. The Bible says, and he brings deliverance and healing. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Anything that wants to destroy your life, to destroy your family. Maybe you're having problem in your family, husband and wife, no resolution. May that situation be resolved in the name of Jesus. Your child looking for a job and you seem to be frustrated. Hear the word of God today. That child shall be delivered because you believed in your prayers. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Finally, in John chapter 10, verse 34 to 35, Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1. In those two scriptures, we will see. Can we just look at John? John 10, 34 to 35.
Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken."
Amen.
If he said you are gods, what makes you a god? The word of God came to you. The moment the word of God comes to you, he elevates you.
Amen.
And he brings you to the level where God is. God, you know, God brings you up to the level of God. You don't become Jehovah God.
Amen.
Because some people stretch this scripture. They stretch these things until they make themselves the God of men. No, no. God, the word of God, once he enters, he elevates you and gives you authority over those things. That is what happened in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1. The Bible says, God said to Moses, he says, "See, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh." Why? Because he encountered God in the wilderness. Amen. Until you encounter God, you cannot become a God to those situations. There are situations in your life now that require that you rise above them. And the only instrument with which God lifts you up above them is the word of God. May that word come to you. May that word come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know who is ready to receive the word that will lift you up above that situation. You know, the complicated wisdom, many-sided wisdom of God, they are wrapped up in the word of God. They are inside that word. The wisdom of God, they are inside that word. It's like a box. It is our responsibility to open the box and gradually begin to interact with our spirit in the word and become a God unto Pharaoh. Rise up to your feet. If the word has entered your spirit, can you begin to talk to God now? Talk to God now. You have heard God's word. You have heard God's word. Begin to talk to God now. Talk to God now concerning the word you have heard. I don't know the area of your life that you need to reign above them. Begin to talk to the Lord. Before I pray a general prayer, I want to give opportunity for those who are here, who are yet not giving their lives to Christ. They have not yet given their lives to Christ. They have been members of the church. I want to pray with you now. The Bible says, as many as receives him, to them he has given power to become the sons of God. I want to pray with you now. Just say this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I confess my shortcomings unto you. I know I've been coming to church, but I have not given my life to you. I repent today from my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my life.
cancel my name from the book of death and write my name in the book of life, so that from today henceforth I will live as a child of God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your children. Thank you. Thank you because every one of us here, O God, our names are written in the book of life. We rejoice, Heavenly Father, concerning this. And we pray that the revelation of your word and the potency, the power of your word, the immutability of your word be our portion in the name of Jesus Christ. May that revelation come to the one that needs it. That brother, that sister, Heavenly Father, that have been asking your hands to manifest in their situation. I pray that it shall be so unto them. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.